The history of the GIF, or GIF, whatever. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Earlier this month, Steve Wilhite, inventor of the graphics interchange format, the GIF, died at the age of 74. GIFs, animated or not, may be a regular, free feature of the internet now, but the tech that powered Wilhite's new format was patented by IT company Unisys, which, for a few contentious years back in the early internet, wanted to charge fees for all the sparkly GIFs we were sharing. Versions of this fight over who has control and gets paid when information moves around the web continue to this day. Jason Epink is an artist and former curator at the Museum of the Moving Image and gave me a GIF history lesson.
The GIF itself was developed as an open format by CompuServe. However, unbeknownst to the engineers that were developing the GIF, they were using an algorithm that had been patented. And it was the LZW compression algorithm. And it wasn't until 1993 that Unisys becomes aware of the GIF format using LZW compression. It says, CompuServe, you need to pay us license fees. CompuServe's like, well, where are we going to get this from? We need to kind of pass that on to developers who are making software that use the GIF inside our system. And there's a pretty big uproar because what drew people to CompuServe was that you could buy the software that could allow you to view these images, right? We kind of don't often think of like what it was like pre-World Wide Web to kind of look at images, but it required special software.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth laying out that at that time, we kind of had multiple internets, and you lived within one of these systems based on which software you were using, right?
That's exactly right. And a lot of software and image formats were really dependent on what kind of hardware you even had. So what GIF kind of promised and what it really delivered on was that it was very interoperational with all these systems.
So people were really upset that they had signed on to CompuServe so that they could use this, and now there was a fee attached to it. What were some of the things that people did in response to this?
That spurs the creation of the PNG, Portable Network Graphics format. But then again, in 1999, Unisys comes back and says, we're changing our license fees. So the League for Programming Freedom, which had been founded a few years earlier, starts this campaign, Burn All GIFs, to bring attention to look at what software patents can do. We need to move away from this.
What do you think would be people's reaction nowadays if a company tried to patent GIFs or even something similarly ubiquitous across the internet?
I think the uproar at that time really tells us something about the growing pains of the internet being kind of an information system into kind of a site for consumers. You know, it turns out that a lot of our internet is licensed now. What this licensing issue was affecting, it was affecting these kind of smaller companies that were making software to make and view GIFs. Now that's relegated either to like really large open source projects or really big companies. And so those fees are really invisible to us.
Do you have any favorite GIFs, like ones you keep saved to use in messaging chains or in text or something like that?
You know, I don't use GIFs as often as I used to, but I still really frequently use Homer disappearing into the hedges. that's often an emotion on the web these days that I feel.
Jason Epink is a former curator at the Museum of the Moving Image. And now for some related links. We'll have Jason's article, A Brief History of the GIF, that he put together for the Journal of Visual Culture on our website, marketplacetech.org. I say put together because it's part article and part just art. He laid out the various stages of the story of GIFs using the designs of various internet browsers and web platforms as they developed over the years. So if you've forgotten what a Netscape Navigator 2.0 window looked like, or a GeoCities under construction site, it's a nice little reminder with a dash of history. And if you're too young to know what any of these things are, I guess it's all history. We'll also have a link to the Burn All Gifts campaign website, which is still up and running, even though the patent fight is over. Now, it's a pretty basic site campaigning against software patents and encouraging developers and regular users to put their online content in non-patented formats, especially for music and video. So, for example, rather than saving a musical performance as an AAC file, which plays in iTunes, Spotify, and lots of other places, but is under lots of patents, they would rather you save it in the free lossless audio codec, or FLAC format, which is open source. And one last note, I know the whole debate over how to pronounce GIF or GIF is ongoing, but for what it's worth, when the inventor, Steve Wilhite, received a Lifetime Achievement Award at the Webbies in 2013, that was also when he attempted to put this debate to rest via an image shown on stage that read, "It's pronounced GIF." I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.